Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Well-known verse of Scripture. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, there are two commands there. The first is to trust in the Lord. The second is not to trust in yourself. The first is to trust what the Lord says. The second is not to trust what you think. The first is to trust God. The second is to have no value about your own opinions. Now, we have been having a wonderful time these last few weeks because God has been speaking to us afresh about the revelation that it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we're going to do a very simple thing this morning. We're going to try to keep things fairly brief during August for the benefit of all the children that aren't here. they're all away on holiday, but I'm going to do something very visual for you. Over here is you in your natural being, the person you are in the natural, in your soul life. And over here is Christ in you, the Spirit of Christ within you. Now, we know that Christ is in us. The Scripture tells us that if we have received the Holy Spirit, then Christ is in us. He is not a feeling, however. So we have to learn how to trust in Him and not in our own understanding, in our own thoughts, in our own ideas, in our own feelings, in our own opinions. Now, we can know that we're not to do that, but it's learning how not to do it that is important. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at here? Okay. Now, if we turn for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 14, in verse 26, Jesus says to the disciples, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will teach, who will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So here is Christ in you, here is the Spirit within you, and Jesus says He is going to teach you everything you need to know. So it doesn't matter what situation you're in, He will teach you what to do, what to think, what to pray, what to say. And the way He will do this is by reminding you of everything that Jesus has said. He is the Spirit of the risen Christ, so of course He wants to remind you of everything that Jesus said during His humanity, because there is no division between the risen Christ and the Jesus who came into this world. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. So there is only one Christ who lives within us. The Christ who lives in me is the same Christ who lives in you. Because He is Spirit, He can live. He can now be in more than one place. During His humanity, He could only be in one place. But now, in the Spirit, He can be wherever. Amen? He can be in all those who are born again and have received the Holy Spirit. So you don't have a part of Christ in you. You have the fullness of Christ in you. And the fullness of Christ in you is the same as the fullness of Christ in me. So I don't have more of Christ than you have. I have the same Christ that you have. And you have just as much of Christ as I have. Now, if we all understand, therefore, that the same Christ lives in us, that is going to be the cause of unity. If we are all listening to the same Lord and doing what he says, we will be a body that is living together in unity. Because Christ is not going to lead one person in one direction and somebody else in another direction when they're part of the same body. Because he doesn't want us doing the spiritual splits. Why? Because we're called to walk, and you can't walk when you're doing the splits. This is a very deep message this morning, but just pray for revelation if you don't get it immediately. So we're to be walking together in unity, therefore we're to be walking together in agreement. That is in the agreement of faith, the agreement of faith in what God has said in his word and what he says by the Spirit. Now, there will be differences of ministry, but all those will work together in unity. Are we there? So, over here, God might have given us all different ministries, apostle, pastor, teacher, administrator, helper, whatever. But it's the same Christ in us who wants to work through us to enable us to do his work. Now, of course, when Pastor Jonathan was introducing the meeting, he didn't really mean that God changes you, because he meant to say that God exchanges you. Didn't he? Because the script, there's nowhere in the New Testament does it say that God changes us. But he exchanges us. Now we change, and so it appears that God is changing us. But what causes us to appear to change is how much we allow the risen Christ in us to be expressed through us. So we appear differently if more of Christ is flowing through us. But it's not that my self-life has changed. It's just that I've done more to deny my self-life so that his life can shine through me. Are we getting this? Right. I understand. If I understand it, everybody else should be able to. Now, the thing to understand is this. Two completely different things can be going on in you at the same time. And when that happens, and it will happen often, it's learning to listen to the right thing and not the wrong thing. Right, now, in my self-life, this is your self-life, right? In the self-life, you can often be afraid. Fear belongs to your self-life. You might be afraid to witness to someone. You might be afraid to reach out to heal them in the name of Jesus. You might be afraid in making relationships. You might be afraid in a whole variety of ways. That's natural. I, in the natural, am a very fearful person. I was almost paralyzed by fear in many areas of my life when I was a young person. Very, very fearful. But the Christ in me is not fearful. And you see, Timothy, the young man that Paul was raising up to become an apostle, he was, in the natural, very fearful. So Paul had to say to him, God did not give you a spirit of fear. The fear isn't in your spirit. The fear is in your natural self. But God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Here in your spirit, the spirit that he put within you is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, of right thinking. There'd be all kinds of wrong thinking here because fear causes you to think incorrectly. Fear causes you to think, I can't. I can't do it. I just can't. Now, the Spirit of God, remember, is going to remind us of what the Scripture says, right? The Scripture says, and well, Jesus says, doesn't he? All things are possible to those who have faith. So here, in my natural self, I'm feeling I can't. Here, Christ in me is saying, all things are possible, Colin, to those who believe. Now, who am I going to listen to? You see, if I listen to my fears, I freeze out to the voice of Jesus. He's still living in me. The Spirit is speaking to me. He's reminding me of what Jesus has said, but I've frozen him out. I said, no, 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 I'm listening to my fears. I can't. They're all very quiet. Can anybody understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, you see, this is a battle that's going on within you. There you are in the middle of the circumstances. Perhaps there are other people, you know, that are involved, and they don't know the conflict that is going on inside you. So you make your decision as to which one of these two voices you're going to hear when you speak. If you say, I can't, you've just denied the Christ in you, and you've just spoken from yourself, not from God. Now, you might not say aloud, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, or nothing is impossible for him who believes. But if you listen to the voice of the Spirit who is giving you such encouragement or saying other such scriptures, depending on what the circumstances are, then you, if you're on your own, it's good to speak that out. I can do all things through him. I don't have to listen to those fears. The fears are there, but the fears are not the reality. The reality is Christ in you. You see, listen, your feelings and emotions and thoughts even can change, but Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the real reality is the Christ in you. The reality isn't how you feel. Are we getting this? So you can feel, oh, you know, let's just pick up one or two things that were said at the camp. You know, there you are in the supermarket, and supposing the Spirit of God says to you, pray for that person at the checkout. You see, that might evoke all kinds of, oh, I couldn't, I'd be embarrassed. I don't know how. Is it going to work? What? Oh. But you see, if the Spirit of God is telling you to do it, it's bound to work. Because the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that won't work. But here you are now. You're in this position of conflict. How can I? I mean, it's all right to listen to these testimonies of other people doing it, but, I mean, this is me. Now, what we've got to learn is how do we release the life of the Spirit of Christ in us so that he is able to work through us despite our fears, despite our embarrassment, despite all the negativity that often we feel in the natural. Anybody want to know how to do that? Well, two things are essential. The first is in prayer. That what you're doing in your own prayer life is you are regularly releasing the Spirit of Christ. You're praying, Lord, today I want the Spirit of faith to be operating through my life. I release the Spirit of love to operate in my life. I release the Spirit of the fear of the Lord to operate in my life. I release the Spirit of prayer to operate. I release the Spirit of love. You see, you release the Spirit. But the Spirit has got to then be expressed through you. So, prayer is the first thing. The second thing is the action. That you take the action despite despite the way you feel. You do not wait for the feelings to change. Now, for those of you who are at camp, we had an astonishing meeting on Saturday, on the Thursday evening, didn't we? Which ended with a real revelation of the glory, and we ended up by having a spontaneous shindig. There was just such a release from God that evening. And actually, I was earlier this morning just going through my journal of during the camp time, and that morning, God had spoken to me and explained to me exactly what he was going to do, all about the glory, all about this release, all about a spontaneous release of joy. He said all that to me exactly as it happened. But that evening, before the meeting, it was very difficult for me to pray and to find time. There was one thing after another happening. I got all kinds of interruptions and everything. And even when I was praying and saying, okay, Lord, what's the word for tonight? I had absolutely nothing. I said this at the time. And so I got up there on the platform and the worship, you know, we had a great time in the worship. But, you know, when you're having to lead a meeting, you've got to have part of your attention on what's happening and making sure everything's going and the whole thing's flowing in the Spirit. And so I didn't really have a great meeting with God then at all. And I can remember standing just before I was going to preach, and I felt absolutely nothing. There was no sense of the presence or the closeness of God. I mean, the previous night or two, I'd bumped into him on the platform. I mean, that was totally different kind of it. But that evening, there was nothing. And I went to the pulpit, and we just prayed. Everybody sat down. I had nothing. Now, you see, if I listened to my feelings, I wouldn't even have opened my mouth. I said, well, I've got nothing tonight. I mean, anybody else want to come and preach to 4,000 people? But I knew from experience, of course, but I knew, okay, I've just got to stand here and take the action. Speak, and God will give the words. God will lead us in the way that he wants to. God will cause all that he has prophetically promised to come about. But if I took note of my feelings, I would have been afraid. I can honestly say I had absolutely nothing to say, and there was not an ounce of fear in me. Not an ounce. Why? Because I've learned in such circumstances to trust in the Christ in me. He won't fail. The Holy Spirit won't fail. I'm only telling you this, not to boast or anything like that, because all the glory goes to God. I didn't speak that night. He did. That's always the best way, isn't it? You see, it's learning not to listen to yourself. Whether you feel fear, whether you have nothing, but to trust in the Christ in you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, what we need to learn to do is to apply this to all the circumstances of our lives every day. Now, we're not going to be conscious of the presence of Christ in us all day long. We get absorbed with what we're doing, the events of life and our work and so on. But nevertheless, he is there all the time. That's where the prayer comes in, that at the beginning of every day, we pray and believe that the Christ in us is going to work through us and is going to influence whatever is taking place, or influence us in the midst of whatever is taking place. Are you there? Because we are not going to know all the circumstances, but the Christ in us, he is the one who can really prepare us for the circumstances. He can speak words of encouragement and faith. He can speak words of warning if there's something going to happen during that day that we've got to beware of. But the important thing is, he is always there for us to call upon him. Lord, I don't know what to do. What do I do now? Lord, I don't know what to say. What shall I say? Now, I'm often in that situation because, you know, somebody comes to see me. They've got, I've probably got just a few minutes to be with them. I may not know them. They've got a most horrendous tale of woe, of how their lives have been a total mess and boom, boom, boom. And you sit and listen to this and you think, what on earth can I say in response to this? The point is, in the natural, I've got nothing to say. But God can say exactly the right thing that is going to unlock something in that person's life. You see, it's the Christ in us. But because the same Christ lives in you, you can do the same thing with your neighbor. Neighbor comes into your kitchen, sits down there at the table, pours out a heart, and you know, there's some marital strife or some horrendous problem in the family or something. And you think, what on earth do I say? Well, you're wise if you don't say anything, but you say, Lord, just give me the words to speak so that Christ in you can then bring forth something that is going to cut through all the mishmash and get right to the heart. But what you must avoid, right, is feeding your natural life. What do I mean? Well, you could get very interested in what the person is saying and want to know all kinds of salacious details. Your curiosity could be aroused. Hello? Now, if you're going to listen to the voice of Christ, then you've got to say no to all that kind of stuff. No, 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 no. I'm not here to have my curiosity aroused. You know, I'm not going to take advantage of this situation so that I can then go and gossip about my neighbor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you see, in this way, you deny yourself, as Jesus says. You've got to deny yourself. And then the Spirit of Christ can give you the words to speak, or he can give you the action to perform. He can tell you what to do. So there will be many times when that fear, that sense of inadequacy will be upon you in the natural. And the Spirit of God is saying, just do it. Just do what I said. Never mind how you feel. Just do what I've said. So, Ian Andrews at camp gave a whole series of testimonies, really, from his own life and ministry, how he had felt absolutely nothing, or he'd really felt full of sometimes anger and irritation and unbelief, but that was him in the natural. But he listened to what the Spirit was saying, and he would do what the Spirit said despite all that stuff. Why? Because the natural, the flesh, will always be the flesh. God won't change the flesh. Hello? And Jesus says, in your flesh there dwells nothing good. So it's no use trying to make the flesh good because you can't. Jesus says there's nothing good. What is good is when the Spirit of Christ speaks through us, works through us, because he lives in us. Amen? Now, the more often we trust in him and not ourselves and not our feelings, the more confident we become. It seems as if we're changing, but all that is happening is really the Spirit of Christ in us is being given more opportunities. As we trust him, we realize that he is absolutely true to what he says. He never fails us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He never allows us to get egg on our face. When we step out in obedience to what he says, he always comes good. Mm-hmm. You see, I have no fear when I speak. Caroline does. Before she speaks, there's a sort of a big build-up in her, and she says to me, "You're not much help, because all you say, well, it'll be all right, because the Lord will supply." But what else can I say, you see? Because every time it's very good when she speaks, so people tell me. Why? Because, you see, she's not trusting in herself. See, the good thing about knowing your weakness and inadequacy is you know, well, it's not worth trusting in me because there isn't much worth trusting in. So it's good when God puts things before us that stretch us. Because then we've got to trust him. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was to say to one of you, you're going to give the opening address at next year's faith camp, I guarantee you would have 11 and a half months of intense prayer. Because you would know that you've got to sort of set the mood for the whole camp, and there you've got thousands of people who come in cold spiritually. So you would probably say, "Oh, God, God, God." You'd get hold of God and God would get hold of you. Perhaps it would be the finest thing that could ever happen to you spiritually. But you see, we shouldn't need an incentive such as that to teach us to deny self but to trust in him. Here, you see, is your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. When situations arise, and they don't have to be problems, they can be things, you know, that we have to work through, business and so on. Very easy to lean on our own understanding, especially if we think we know something. Hello? Especially if we think we're quite good at something. Why trust in him if I can do it? Hello? That, of course, is pride. Because according to my scripture, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. So I don't want to trust in the one who no longer lives. Because that means I'm going to make it appear that he hasn't really died. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so even when I'm confronted with something, I think I understand exactly what needs to happen, what needs to be said. If I lean on that understanding, I'm being disobedient to God's word. Because, you see, the understanding of Christ in me is much greater than my own understanding. Hello? The thing that we learn is that whenever we trust the Lord, he never fails. And you see, if he never fails, that means we will not fail. Whenever we trust him, we will not fail. Amen? And his understanding being so much greater than our understanding, you will often find that you are going to do something in a certain way, and then the Spirit of God is saying to you, "No, no, no, not that way, this way." Sometimes, when he does that, it makes no sense to your understanding. You think, well, that makes no sense. Why should I do it that way? Or why should I do that particular thing? And then you find that God has a purpose in it. Let's take a very simple example. You might be with a group of people, and, or anywhere. You could be in town, you could be in a bus, train, whatever. And you just get this sense, I need to speak to this person. Well, I don't know this person. I don't want to speak to this person. Why should I speak to this person? Makes no sense that I should speak to that person. But if the Spirit of God is urging you to do so, he's got a purpose. You actually are carrying something from God for that person. And God has actually put you in that railway carriage or among those people or wherever in order that you might give to that person what he's got for them. This is Christ in you. Now, that might not be what you want to do in the natural. When I'm in a train carriage, I just want to read a book or read a paper and shut myself off from everybody and everything all around, because I'm that kind of person. But I've learned that sometimes, you know, God is going to cut right into that, and I'm going to have to step out and do something that is not natural to me. Are you there? And this is the same for all of us. It's no excuse to say, oh, well, that's not my nature. That's not how God would use me. If he's put you in a situation, he wants to use you in that situation. Amen? It is simply a question of learning to trust him. And so, if you get this urge to pray for someone, friend, neighbor, someone you meet in the street, the supermarket, wherever, you are carrying something from God for that person. You have, listen to me, you have, if he's telling you to pray for them, you have within you that person's healing. You are carrying, as you're walking around that supermarket, you are carrying that person's healing. And God knows that all he's got to do is bring you and that person together. And then what you're carrying for that person can be given to them. Listen, Christ is not in you for fun. The Christ in you wants to work through you. That's why he lives in you. And he doesn't want to work, as we saw patently at the camp, he doesn't want to work simply through people on platforms. This is not the time for that. This is the time when God is working through the whole body. He is energizing the whole body. He is wanting to equip the whole body. And you see, there's If I think many of us here this morning are honest, you don't want to hear what I'm saying. You really don't want to hear it. You much prefer to just retreat or to stay closed up in your little safe world and say, well, wait a minute, there's Jesus and there's me and he'll help me through and all the rest. But I don't know about all this stepping out. It's what Paul called the obedience of faith. And he said that it's the responsibility of the apostle to lead people into the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5. So I'm just being obedient to God's word this morning. Is that all right? This is the obedience of faith. But you see, our faith is not in our feelings. Our faith is in Christ. The Christ in us will work through us for his glory. So, you're going to have a wonderful week. I believe that God wants to work through every one of us in this room during this coming week in a way that we've never seen him work before.
Can we accept that? Can we accept that as a kind of a challenge? Okay, Lord, you live in me, and I'm going to pray for the release of your Spirit each morning when I start the day, and I'm going to believe that you are going to flow through me in a way that I haven't seen before. And that as a result, I'm going to grow in confidence. And it will seem, you see, this is what Pastor Jonathan was referring to, it will seem that you will have changed by next Sunday. Right. But in fact, all that's happened is you've simply allowed the unchanging Christ in you to be expressed more through you. You will still be the fearful person that you were before this message. But you'll just have learned, well, what an idiot I am to have been listening to these fears all these years when I have all the time had Christ in me. And he's not afraid of anyone or anything. So now I'm going to trust in him and not in my own understanding. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Come, let's just lift our hands to the Lord and thank him for the gift of Christ in us. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, you can be glorified through my life this week. You can use me, Lord, in a way I haven't been used before, to do something I've never done before. And Lord, I release that spirit of faith in my life. I recognize I do not have a spirit of fear. I may have fear in the natural, but I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, I have a spirit of love, and I have a spirit of right thinking. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I know my understanding isn't always right. My feelings aren't always right. I know that sometimes I hold back because of fear. But I thank you that you have equipped me with your spirit in my spirit. And I now have that spirit of power. Amen. I have that spirit of love. The power can flow through me this week. The love can flow through me this week. I can have your thinking, the mind of Christ, in all the situations in which I'm placed this week. I don't have to lean on my own human, imperfect understanding. And I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you praise. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to appear different and more confident because I'm trusting in you. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's nothing like the present to start. So let's pray healing into other people's lives now. Is there anybody needs healing? Just raise your hand. Anybody needs healing? Right, now. You just have a look around you. Keep your hand up. See those with hands up. Then those of you who are around, just gather around that person. We've got Ian Andrews' 30-second law. It takes 30 seconds to... He says, if it's not going to happen in 30 seconds, it's not going to happen at all. Now, you just reach out. And what are you doing? You're not praying for them. You're carrying that person's healing. Hey, just a minute. Just before we start. Ian Andrews said something very, very important about healing. He said, you heal from the spiritual position you're in. I'll say something more about the last message that he preached on the Friday morning, but not this morning, perhaps next week. Because it was such a dynamically important message where he was saying, you pray from the spiritual position that God has given you. And he said, you know, often husbands pray for their wives and they're not healed because they pray as their husbands. Instead of praying from their spiritual position as the priest in the family. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, before you pray, you should remember who you are, what your status is, what your position is, so that you're praying with authority out of that position. So just before you pray, just close your eyes now. Just take hold of this revelation. I am now carrying the healing for this person. Because Christ is in me. And I'm now going to reach out in his name and I'm going to impart that healing. I'm not going to heal them, but the Christ in me is going to impart healing into that person's life. Now you need to believe that, of course. These are not just words. But you believe right now the Christ in me is going to heal this person. So you can just reach out now, put your hands on the person's head, or at least one of you put them on the head. And just believe now, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then just be praying quietly in yourself, the Christ in me is pouring his healing life into you now. Now this means that person can be totally healed, means they can receive at least a partial healing, something happens, and you know as you pray for them again and again over the period of time, more and more of that healing takes place. God does both things, instantaneous healing and progressive healing. Both can happen. Now just thank the Lord. Those of you who've been prayed with, just take your hands off the head and just all of you, just thank the Lord for what he has done. Okay, now don't move yet. Now, the one who was prayed with, I just want you to talk to those who prayed for you and say to them what you believe you've just received from God. Now, this is important. You've got to speak out what you believe you have received. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Now, this is not, you're not speaking out hope. You're speaking out what you believe God has just imparted to you. You might have seen the full manifestation of it already. You might just have seen part of it, but you believe God has imparted something to you. Okay, now those of you who did the praying, how many of you have heard something good? You just heard something good from that person you prayed. Isn't that encouraging? See? That was the Christ in you imparting something to that person. Hallelujah. Now, it's one thing to do it here in a controlled situation, you know, where somebody is leading you. It's going to be the next step of faith to do it when there's nobody else. But can you, have you got the idea? Before you pray, don't just, so it's not wholly hit and hope for the best. It's, you know, you just pause for a moment and you say, right, Christ is in me. I am carrying this person's healing. And now God is calling upon me to impart it in his name. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Have we got that? You don't have to do any more than that, actually. I mean, sometimes the Holy Spirit may cause you to pray something a bit more specific, if it's for a specific... But remember, God doesn't heal needs. He heals people from their needs. Amen? And, you know, sometimes we want to get too specific. because we say, you know, Lord, heal this knee. And he says, well, what about the back? And what about the stomach? And what about the blood? And I said, well, I don't know anything about that. Yeah, but I do. Why don't you just pray the way I lead you and not limit it by the way, by your own understanding? On other occasions, God will just say, well, pray for the knee. Okay, Lord, pray for the knee. Never mind anything else, just pray for the knee. That's the priority now. And as that knee is healed, that's going to encourage faith to expect other things to be healed. You just have to learn to do it. You know, the Spirit will do a different thing on every occasion. This is the exciting thing about it. There's no formulas. You see, you just listen each time and you just do what he says. Hallelujah. Come on, let's have the musicians up here. We need to thank the Lord. Yes, let's give him all a great big thank you. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.